You're listening to the 1 Peter 5 Friday Roundup. Hello and welcome. Today is Friday, May 29th, 2015. My name is Steve Skojak, and this is the 1 Peter 5 Friday Roundup, the weekly podcast where we wrap up and recap the top Catholic stories in the news. Well, the dark and gathering storm over the church seems to carry with it a singular focus, a relentless attack on the Sixth Commandment. Last week, Ireland, once considered the world's most well-known Catholic country, voted overwhelmingly in support of so-called same-sex marriage, with little resistance from the nation's episcopacy, and in some cases, outright support. Bishop Donald McCowan, whom Pope Francis appointed to take over the Irish Diocese of Derry in 2014, just 3 years after his predecessor publicly called for an end to priestly celibacy, said that Catholics could, in good conscience, vote in favor of so-called gay marriage. In a response to the Irish referendum, Cardinal Raymond Burke showed his astonishment, stating in an interview that, quote, "This is a defiance of God. It's just incredible. Pagans may have tolerated homosexual behaviors, but they never dared to say this was marriage," end quote. He went on to say, quote, "The culture is thoroughly corrupted, if I may say so, and the children are being exposed to this, especially through the internet," end quote. He recommended that families put computers in public areas of the home to prevent children from, quote, "imbibing this poison that's out there," end quote. Burke said that marriage between a man and a woman is a fundamental truth that has been ignored, defied, and violated. We covered the Irish referendum during our last Friday Roundup, and just as we were wrapping up our report, we received word that a secret meeting was going to be held at the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome on Monday, May 25th. This week, we heard a little bit more about what happened at that meeting. In a leak to the Italian newspaper Il Foglio, it was revealed that participants were involved in discussions involving same-sex caresses and marital infidelity. Quote, "And who knows if, in the post-synodal relatio to be given to Pope Francis, will be presented also the expressions on, quote, caresses, kisses, and coitus, understood as a coming together," end quote, that resounded in the venerable halls of the Roman University directed by the Jesuit fathers. After all, one of the participants focused his own conference on the verification that sexual stimulus represents the basis for a long-lasting relationship, while a colleague affirmed with great certainty that with the lengthening of lifespans, also the borders of fidelity are changed, and that in some, being together with the same partner for decades can be quite annoying in the end. End quote. Rome-based Catholic journalist Edward Penton, who made headlines last year when he reported what some considered to be racist remarks made by Cardinal Walter Kasper about the African bishops who were resisting his advances against marriage and family in the synod, and who brought news, Penton that is, brought news of the theft of the 200 copies of the so-called Five Cardinals book from the post office boxes of the Synod Fathers in advance of last October's session, well, he's been paying close attention to what he has termed a shadow council taking place in Rome. Penton writes, quote, "A one-day study meeting, open only to a select group of individuals, took place at the Pontifical Gregorian University on Monday, with the aim of urging pastoral innovations at the upcoming Synod of Bishops on the Family in October. Around 50 participants, including bishops, theologians, and media representatives, took part in the gathering at the invitation of the presidents of the bishops' conferences of Germany, Switzerland, and France. Cardinal Reinhard Marx, Bishop Marcus Buchel, and Archbishop Georges Pontier. One of the key topics discussed at the closed-door meeting was how the Church could better welcome those in stable same-sex unions, and reportedly no one opposed such unions being recognized as valid by the Church. Participants also spoke of the need to develop the Church's teaching on human sexuality and called not for a theology of the body, as famously taught by St. John Paul II, but the development of a theology of love. One Swiss priest discussed the importance of the human sex drive, while another participant, talking about Holy Communion for remarried divorcees, asked, How can we deny it as though it were a punishment for the people who have failed and found a new partner with whom to start a new life? Marco Ansaldo, a reporter for the Italian daily newspaper La Repubblica, who was present at the meeting, said the words seemed revolutionary uttered by clergymen, end quote. Penton continued, quote, the closed-door meeting masterminded by the German Bishops' Conference under the leadership of Cardinal Marx was first proposed at the annual meeting of the heads of the three bishops' conferences, held in January in Marseille, France. The study took place just days after the people of Ireland voted in a referendum in support of same-sex marriage, and on the same day as the ordinary council of the Synod of Bishops met in Rome. Some observers did not see the timing as a coincidence, end quote. Later on this week, Penton released another report, this one including a list of names of the attendees at the so-called Shadow Council. In it, he explained the atmosphere of exclusion at the event. Quote, the Austrian Catholic internet site, cath.net, reported Wednesday that they had learned, via episcopal sources, that many bishops not sympathetic to the issues discussed were neither informed about nor invited to the meeting. Also, only a certain elite among media representatives were invited, it added. Many other journalists from Catholic media from German-speaking countries were not even told about it, end quote. Penton then goes on to say, quote, another question the study day raises is, who financed it? If, as Cardinal Marx told me, he was there in a private capacity, does that mean German church tax revenue wasn't used to finance the meeting? It's unlikely that faithful German Catholics would want their taxes spent on a study day aimed at church recognition of same-sex relationships, the new so-called theology of love, end quote. While the German bishops are most often cited as the primary source of dissent on issues of marriage and family, with the capitulation of the Irish Bishops' Conference, it appears that acquiescence is spreading. Now, the Swiss bishops, some of whom were in attendance at the Shadow Council in Rome on Monday, have also released a report on the results of the pre-synod questionnaire they sent out to the faithful in their dioceses. Quote, the report, to be sent to Rome in preparation for the upcoming Synod of Bishops in October of 2015, suggests radical departure from the Catholic faith. It demands communion for remarried divorcees, calls for blessings on homosexual relationships, and even disparages the Holy Family of Nazareth as a model for families. The press release notes that the majority of participants of the discussion groups whose responses form the basis of the report are involved in the pastoral care of the faithful and in catechetical instruction, and also members of parish women's and youth groups. And while that demonstrates the poverty of the church in Switzerland, faithful Catholics there have contested the report and its compilation as agenda-driven and manipulated. For instance, of the 570 submissions for the report, a conservative group of Catholics representing more than 60,000 members was counted as only one report, whereas a left-leaning parish group of only 11 was given one report. Here are some of the shocking proposals and statements given without negative comment and included in the bishop's report, and I'll just list these off. These are the statements being made in the bishop's report. First, only a small minority of the submissions show the desire to adhere strictly to the present teaching of the church and her strict discipline. Second, the exclusion of remarried divorcees from the sacraments has to be terminated. Third, partnerships of male and female homosexuals should have their place within the church. Fourth, even if the majority rejects putting the homosexual partnerships on the same level as sacramental marriages, there is still a strong approval for the church's extended blessing upon such partnerships. Fifth, the Holy Family does not appear at all as an ideal form of the family, but rather it is regarded more in its biblically described brokenness. And finally, the Holy Family does not at all correspond to the church's ideal of a family. Supporting the faithful Catholics outraged by the report is Bishop Marian Eleganti of Chur in eastern Switzerland. In a statement on the website of his diocese, Bishop Eleganti writes, quote, "Do we have to give our blessing as bishops to everything people do nowadays?" End quote. He's not alone in wondering about that question. Well, with the sense of imminent danger in so many quarters of the church, you might be wondering if there are any hopeful signs. And indeed there are. The ever-impressive Bishop Athanasius Schneider of Astana, Kazakhstan, offered Mass for the Chartres pilgrims in France on Pentecost Sunday. In his homily, he exhorted families to be courageous and to resist the forces both within and outside the church that oppose the holiness and sanctity of the family, the domestic church. Quote, "What are the effects of that divine fire of Pentecost? It is the transformation of our weak and inconstant human love into a supernatural love. Thanks to that supernatural love, we are able to love God with all of our strength and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Above all, the fire of divine love in our soul gives us the virtue of fortitude. That virtue of fortitude has, for 2,000 years, given the faithful the capacity to prefer death to the betrayal of their baptismal promises, to prefer to die rather than to sin, to die rather than betray their priestly vows, to die rather than betray their religious vows. Today there are families, young people, priests, and bishops who, in order to remain faithful to God's commandments, are often marginalized, ridiculed, and persecuted by the dictatorial power of the new worldwide neo-Marxist ideology of gender and the cult of the earth and the climate. Moreover, there are also families, young people, priests, seminarians, and even bishops who are marginalized and ridiculed, sometimes even in the ecclesiastical domain, because of their fidelity to the integrity of the Catholic faith and to divine worship according to the tradition of the apostles and of our ancestors. Pentecost is also the day when we celebrate the visible birth of the Church, which is the great family of all the adopted sons of God. There is also, of course, another divine creation called the human family, made up of a father, a mother, and their children. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, raised the natural family to the dignity of being the domestic church thanks to the sacrament of marriage. In our time, the natural family and the Christian family have become the principal objects of attack for the destruction of the civilized world by the neo-Marxist gender ideology. Paradoxically, we are living in the age of the family precisely because it is under attack. It is today that the family is called to witness to the divine beauty of its essence and of its vocation." End quote. Bishop Schneider went on to encourage families to pray together, especially the family rosary, and to offer their sons to God and to pray for holy and pure priests and bishops. And finally today, speaking still of Bishop Schneider, he recently collaborated with Archbishop Aldo de Chilopagato of Brazil and Bishop Vasa of Santa Rosa, California, on the publication of a new handbook for the family, which was designed to counter the confusion that has been brought about on the Church's teaching on marriage by the Synod. Entitled Preferential Option for the Family, 100 Questions and Answers Relating to the Synod, the authors seek to address fundamental issues and misunderstandings about the sacrament of matrimony. Bishop Vasa said, quote, "There is nothing new or revolutionary in this book. We just simply felt that in the light of the upcoming Synod on the Family, it was time to reiterate those things in the Church that have been clearly and consistently taught. We want to call attention to the truth of certain doctrines, many of which were raised at last year's extraordinary Synod of Bishops on the Family." End quote. In the introduction to the book, the authors write, quote, "The pastoral needs of the moment also require us to be entirely clear on crucial and delicate points debated in the latest synod, whose interpretation was partially distorted by some theological schools with overwhelming support from the mass media. It therefore seems appropriate to reiterate some fundamental doctrinal truths and pastoral requirements essential to the problem of the family, whose real situation is quite different from the one they would have us believe." End quote. The book was just launched in Rome and is not available yet on any website. We do have email and telephone contact information in the show notes for those who would like to receive a copy. And that's it for the Friday Roundup for this week. Please remember that we are a listener and reader-supported organization. So if you enjoy our work, if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider a tax-deductible donation, which can be made at onepeter5.com/donate. You can make recurring donations, set it and forget it. $5, $10 a month goes a long way with as many listeners and readers as we have. We appreciate your support. We pray for our benefactors, and we have masses offered for them at the beginning of every month. Thank you for listening. My name is Steve Skojak, and I'll see you next Friday.